the door. Okay. Question number one. Now let me see here. Okay. Answer B. Information of dash Bertha is called housemaid's name. And which Bertha do you think is there? Pre-Patella Bertha. And number two, the ventral primary rami of dash spinal nerves form the sacral plexus of nerves. Which spinal nerves? L4 to?
S4.
L4 to S4. Okay? And then number three, actions of rectus femoris muscle include flexion of the extend the leg at the knee joint and flexion of the hip, flexion of the thigh or hip. And number four, what is saphenous varix? Varicosity of the saphenous vein where? In the femoral triangle. And number five, damage to which ligament can affect the blood supply of the head of the femur? Ligament of the head of the femur. Number six, femoral hernias emerge into the femoral triangle through which specific opening? The femoral ring or canal, I would accept. Canal I would take, but ring also I will accept because it comes through. Ring or canal. Canal is an opening. It doesn't have any lid. What does it have? It contains fat and some lymph nodes and lymph vessels. So it is an opening. That is how the hernia, you know, sac can, you know, push out into the ligament. Inguinal ligament or the inguinal, you know, region. That is how it can come out. But it is always surrounded with that, you know, the sac, femoral sac and the hernial sac. But it can, you know, come out. Not through the skin, but, you know. And number seven, a stab wound damage the adductor canal with all of its contents. What structures do you expect to be damaged here, not her? Damaged here. What structures do you expect to be damaged if all the contents of the femoral of the adductor canal is damaged? Popliteal, what? Femoral artery, femoral vein, saphenous nerve to vastus medialis. Nerve to vastus medialis. There are four contents. Penny? Yeah, but I asked for the contents of the adductor canal. The adductor canal is damaged. Rectus canal is. But you know, when you say popliteal artery, I can't take that. I will take femoral artery. I will take femoral vein. I mean, popliteal vein I would take because popliteal vein is coming into the adductor canal. So popliteal vein is right, you know, or femoral vein. Okay, either of the two, you know, because I could take that. But not popliteal artery. Popliteal artery is in the popliteal, you know, fossa. Number eight. Number seven. Yeah, I did that. Number eight. Paralysis of which muscles would indicate lesion of the superficial fibular nerve? Paralysis of which muscles will indicate? Fibularis, longus, and brevis. Longus and brevis. Number eight, true or false, the usual force of venous blood flow in the lower extremity is from the deep veins to the superficial veins. Is it true or false?
False.
false, it's false. And number 10, so what's the usual direction? Search to the deep. And number 10, it is seen that the tibial collateral ligament is torn more often than the lateral collateral one. What is the anatomical basis of this occurrence?
Attachment.
Attachment of the tibial collateral ligament to the surrounding structure, so it cannot shift its position as easily as the lateral collateral ligament can. Lateral collateral, remember the fibular collateral ligament, the tibial collateral ligament, or the medial collateral ligament, either or terms are used, is attached to the synovial membrane, to the what is called your medial meniscus, and to your, you know, the fibrous capsule, is attached to all those things, but the lateral collateral ligament is not attached to all those, you know, structures, you know, there. It is attached to some of them, but not to all of them. So the lateral collateral can easily shift position. And that's, I put that on the quiz because that is something people, you know, do not realize it. They always think lateral collateral gets, you know, damaged more often because it's on this side. Yes, the force comes from the side, but it can shift. And it is, you know, you can see it is not as, you know, slightly flattened. The medial collateral is also slightly flatter than the lateral collateral. The lateral collateral is more like a cord, and so therefore it's able to shift its position when the force hits, but the force is transmitted to the medial side. And so I'd like you to understand that, you know, principle there. The force is transmitted to the medial side, and then this one is a sitting duck. The medial collateral ligament is a sitting duck because of its attachment to the surrounding structure. You may get patients like those, okay? And that is the reason why I decided, you know, to put that on. And and that was number 11. When examining an injured knee, the physician should examine what important structures. I'm sure the whole class got it, okay? Has it?
The three C's,
okay? The collaterals, cruciates, and cruciates, collaterals, and the cartilages. Number 12, which muscle is the main flexor of the hip joint? Iliosols, okay? And number 13, the dash muscles are referred to as the triceps surae. Medial and lateral heads of the gastrocnemius and the soleus. Okay, and number 14, what are the main movements of the knee joint? Flexion and extension. Okay, and number 15, the dash spinal roots form the deep fibular nerve. L4, L5, and S1. Now, did you see this? In number 15, I asked you for the spinal roots, you know, of the deep fibular nerve, and you said L4, L5, S1. And then here, number two, I asked you the ventral primary rami of dash spinal nerves form the sacral plexus of nerves. So I used, you know, different terminologies to familiarize you with such usage. Because people can ask you spinal roots, or I don't want you to get comfortable with only that term, spinal roots, okay? People can also ask you about the spinal nerves, because it is after forming the spinal nerves, the ventral primary rami and the dorsal ramus, you know, comes out. Okay, that's why I use these things interchangeably, not to punish you, but to really, you know, bring you along, and so you're well versed in the usage of, you know, these terminologies wherever you see it. And then, of course, number 16, I'm sure, shin splints result from repeated microtrauma to which structure? Tibialis anterior muscle. Now, let's move on to the finish up the there is not much with the leg and ankle joint, only the ankle joint. As you look at the ankle joint, as we have it right here, and let's see what we have here for the ankle joint, and you can see here, ankle joint, look at the other name. When you see some of these terminologies and you know, terms put in the outline, pay attention to it. Look at it. Somebody may refer to the ankle joint as the talocrural joint. They may not say ankle joint here. So you need to be aware that the ankle joint is also referred to as. That's the reason why I put some of these things in the outline. So you are aware of it. Now when we come to look at the ankle joint, you can see the ankle joint here. As you're getting used to looking at the x-rays, as you know, so far it has been, you know, very little. Let me go back here. Now, leg and ankle joint I have. Now let me go here. Now, when I do that, this is where I wanted to go. Take it off. Okay, good. Now look at it. Here. You can see the bones involved. How many bones and which bones are included in the ankle joint? Which bones are participating in the formation of the ankle joint? Tibia, lower end, inferior end of the tibia, and that you can see tibia and what? And any other bones? Talus, yes, you can see the talus. Look at the talus, look at the navicular, look at the calcaneus, look at all of these, you know, in an x-ray. They look a little different from when you look at the bones per se, isn't it? So get used to looking at them. And then what is this bone here? This one here. The fibula on that side, you can see part of the, what is called the lacrimalleolus, you know, right over here, you know, behind there you have the lacrimalleolus. You know, so when you start looking at some of these x-rays, you know, what is what and which bone is there, and so then look at it in this direction. Okay, now you can really see clearly, you can see a cup. See, here you can see that is the mortise that people talk about, the cup that is formed by the distal or the inferior end of the tibia. And you can see the inferior end of the fibula. And you can see where the middle malleolus is here, the lateral malleolus is here, and the talus. Is it the whole talus or what part of the talus is participating in the formation, you know, of the ankle joint? The trochlea of the talus. Now, I'm not going to repeat myself about the bones. I'm not going to say anything. Trochlea, okay? So the trochlea of the talus is, you know, participating. Now, before, as we go to look at, you know, the structures, you know, the rest of the structures of the ankle joint, what we see is that we've seen the articulating parts and all that, but when we come to look at the ankle joint, there are some structures we have here. We have not used, I've mentioned it, but I don't think you have paid attention to it, but there are a few things that we need to go over before we go, you know, a little bit more in detail with the ankle joint. There's something called retinacula. Okay, what you need to know is, what is retinacula? Where would you find the retinacula? Okay, what is retinacula? Vernacular, by the way, is plural. Vernacular, vernacular, vernacular. And so here, vernacular, okay? That is singular, and vernacular, LA, LA here, vernacular is plural. And so as you look at the vernacular here, you can see, even on that one, so let me go to find, you know, the few of the good vernacular. Yeah, that one has vernacular. There are two here, extensor retinaculum, and so here, see here? Let me take some of these names off so it is easy and clear to see. And look at it here. Here you have the extensor retinaculum. This is superior extensor retinaculum, inferior extensor retinaculum. But you didn't define what is retinaculum. What is retinaculum? It's a band of deep fascia. 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 You will be able to differentiate. You will be able to see it. When you are dissecting, you know, the front of the angle or side of the angle or posterior part of the angle, you will be able to differentiate them from the coronal fascia because it's thickened. It's thickened band of, you know, your deep fascia. So that you find, and then, why would you call it extensor retinaculum? Why would you call it extensor retinaculum? Because of the extensor tendons. Because it's anterior to, or it is keeping the extensor tendons in place. Like the textbook will say, both trimming off the tendons. Because as the tendons are crossing at the angle, you know, when you are dorsiflexing, when you're plantar flexing, you know, there is nothing, you know, keeping these, tendons, you know, in place. There's nothing keeping it down. They can, you know, really jump out of place, so to speak, when you are, you know, especially when you look at football players and people who are, you know, kicking. And the football players kick a lot, and so that means in plantar flexion and in dorsiflexion, you can have these, you know, tendons not sitting, you know, in place. And so therefore you have those, and then we also have what is called peroneal or fibular retinaculum and also flexor retinaculum. As you look at it, you know, here, so here let me take this off so you can easily see it without the writing. So here you call this is the medial aspect. This is the medial aspect of the angle. The angle joint there, or the telocular joint here, this part. We are looking at this part, the medial part of the angle joint here, okay? That is the flexor retinaculum. And you would know that because of this flexor tendon going, you know, here, and, you know, to go into the sole of the foot. So the retinaculum that's over the flexor tendons, keeping the flexor tendons in place as they are traveling, you know, at the angle, that is your flexor retinaculum. And then, here you have, you know, the peroneal retinaculum. Peroneal retinaculum for the peroneal tendons. And there is a superior peroneal retinaculum and an inferior peroneal retinaculum. And when you're dissecting those in the cadaver, Dr. Lau would be, you know, spending time or showing you and or you guys should look at, you know, all these, you know, yourselves, you know, what is the retinaculum and what does it do and how many are there, which ones are there at the angle. Okay, so you've seen it at the angle. What other place would you expect to see the retinaculum? The wrist. So the wrist also, we have the retinaculum. When we come to do the wrist, you will see we have the retinacula because we have flexor and extensor retinacula. So at these places, at these, you know, joints where, you know, you're using this, you know, extensively like that, and so nature has given us, you know, something there, you know, to keep, you know, the structures that are, you know, passing under it in place. So we have looked at the articulating parts of the Taylor-Fuller joint. What is the type? What type of a joint is the ankle joint? What type is it? Hinge. You know, we are, you know, hinge, you know, so kind is the hinge, and but it is a synovial joint of the hinge type. Synovial joint of the hinge type. Remember, synovial alone is not good enough because there are different types of synovials. There's plain synovial, you know, there is the modified hinge, all kinds of things are there. And so you've seen, you know, the articulating parts, and if it is synovial, and of course, you know, it has, you know, the fibrous capsule, that you immediately know the fibrous capsule, which of course is going to be lined by the synovial membrane. But the fibrous capsule of the ankle joint, there is one thing that you need to know, that the fibrous capsule of the ankle joint is thin anteriorly and thin posteriorly. Thin anteriorly and thin posteriorly to allow us the dorsiflexion and plantar flexion. But it is all around, you know, it is, you know, fibrous, just like any other fibrous capsule, that means, you know, it attaches to the articulating part, that means to the surrounding parts, you know, of the articulating parts. And the other is the synovial membrane. You may remember the synovial membrane. As you look at the synovial membrane, what do you remember? Do you remember anything about the synovial membrane of the ankle joint? Do you remember anything about the synovial ankle joint synovial membrane? Anything? It slopes into the synovial ankle joint. Synovial membrane goes in between, right, little bit into the distal or the inferior tibiofibular joint. Distal or the inferior tibiofibular, you know, joint. There is little bit of it going in there, you know. But distal or the inferior tibiofibular joint is what type? Is it? Fibrous. It is fibrous. It's a fibrous joint, so it doesn't. Therefore, it doesn't go into it, but you know, little bit of it, you know, slopes in there, and then that brings us to the collateral ligaments. The collateral ligaments. You want to pay attention to the collateral ligaments of the ankle joint because, you know, of the support it gives, and also what it is. What are its, the structure is important of these collateral ligaments. As you look at it, we have medial and lateral collateral ligaments. So the fibrous capsule is supported medially by the medial collateral ligament, which is also called, you know, the deltoid ligament. Medial collateral or the deltoid ligament. Can you tell me what do you understand when I say deltoid ligament? Deltoid ligament. The shape of this, you know, ligament, like the deltoid muscle, like the sign delta, like the letter delta, like that. When you look at it here, you see here? Like the delta, put a little thing there so you have the letter delta. So therefore, deltoid, what does that mean? Deltoid, like epithelioid tissue. This is epithelioid tissue, you know, so deltoid. So this is like a letter delta, okay? Deltoid ligament. So people can use the term deltoid ligament or the medial collateral ligament of the ankle. And as you look at it, again, as you're studying Rose anatomy here, you can see that is the tibia, that means your medial malleolus. And as you look at it here, so between the medial malleolus or the tibia and, you know, some of the tarsal bones, some of the tarsal bones, as you look at the four parts of this, you know, deltoid ligament or the middle collateral ligament, instead of saying it has four parts, look at those four parts. Where are they attached to? Each of them, where are they attached to? What is this bone here? What is this bone here? Calcaneum. Calcaneum. So it's attached, you know, to the calcaneum. That means one of the tarsal bones. Okay? And then there is another bone here. What is this bone here? I'm going to wait. Pardon? This has the tarsal bones. What tarsal bone is that one? That's the talus. Aaron, but at least you answered. At least you had the guts to answer. That is good. Okay. So it is the navicular. I mean, it is the talus. It's a talus. The navicular is right here. Okay. So it is attached to the talus. And what is this bone here? What is this bone here? What is this a part of? Of the talus. Exactly. Look at the diagram. That is the posterior part of the talus. So it is attached to the talus anteriorly, posteriorly. So here, right over here, it is attached to the calcaneus. And right over here, you know, on the dorsum, right here, it's attached to the navicular, to the navicular. So it's attached to three tarsal bones. So it is not easy for this, what is called your deltoid ligament, to tear off. Easy. But it can. It can shear off. In certain fractures and in certain injuries, it can, you know, tear off because of this attachment. When, you know, this ligament is pulled extensively. For example, if you have at dislocation of the ankle joint, if you have a dislocation of the ankle joint, and so what is, you know, going to happen is, so if it's dislocated, as you can see, normally it's sitting like that. Okay? So if it is dislocated, it's going to pull on, you know, your middle collateral ligament. And if that happens, what is going to happen? If the middle collateral ligament is damaged, pulled, sheared, or done something to it, what's going to happen to the talus? The talus will be pushed laterally, and so what will happen there is that, so then when the talus is pushed laterally, what is sitting laterally? The lateral malleolus. So the lateral malleolus can be involved. So what people would call here, this is what is called, the blue boxes talk about the Port's fracture, or Port fracture, as they call it. The Port fracture here or it becomes a trimalleolar fracture. Clinically, many a times when a clinician says it's a trimalleolar fracture, that is what it is. It's a Port fracture that includes, you know, dislocation of the ankle joint. With the dislocation, it will pull on very firmly, strongly. It will pull on the medial collateral ligament or the deltoid ligament, and that is going to also have fracture or shearing off of the medial malleolus. medial malleolus, and then you have seen with the medial collateral ligament pulled on, it will push onto the talus, and the talus would go push onto the lateral malleolus. And so when the lateral malleolus, the medial malleolus, lateral malleolus on the other side, and you know the talus are involved, they just call it the trimalleolar. Even though there are only two malleoli, the lateral malleolus and the medial malleolus. But because of the involvement of the talus, just it rhymes well. So somebody decided to call it the trimalleolar fracture. So if you ever hear, or if you get a question on a board exam, because it's in the blue boxes, so people who are setting the questions will look at the blue boxes. They all know, all the schools are, you know, using, you know, Moran Valley. They know that. And so they will go, you know, because the naturopathic board exams now are, you know, they are leaning more towards, you know, situational questions. There are factual questions also. Objective type will be there. That's one of the reasons why I stop in between and take you here. So if you see what fracture, that includes angle dislocation, that means that includes fracture or shearing off of the medial malleolus, fracture of the fibula, distal end of the fibula, or shearing off of the lateral malleolus and the talus. So the two malleoli, medial and lateral, and your talus, and the medial, what is called the medial collateral ligament, are all involved. So that is called a trimalleolar fracture. So if you get a question like that, don't panic. Just read the question. Oh yes, I do remember there are no three malleoli, but there's only two malleoli, you know, lateral and medial, but because of the involvement of, you know, the talus, you know, we just call it, you know, just it rhymes well, we call it trimalleolar, you know, fracture. And so this is also referred to as the pot fracture and angle dislocation. Pot fracture and angle dislocation. Pot fracture and angle dislocation, or trimalleolar fracture. Okay, so now you can see, when you see this one here, then let's go back here. Let's look at it here. See how it is possible. Here is the lateral malleolus. Here is the medial malleolus. And so here, you know, fracture, shearing off of the medial malleolus, you know, and this has already dislocated, pushing, and so this can either fracture here or, you know, shearing off of the medial malleolus, you know, here, you know, can take place. And so when somebody comes, you know, with a big, you know, bump there, and, you know, it's all, people have, somebody has put some bandage or something on, and then you don't know what is inside. Of course, what are you going to do? You're going to immobilize the part, but that treatment part is not my, you know, prerogative, so I can leave it there. I don't have to go there. But I would say that you should not, you know, x-rays, if you take when there is swelling, you may not be able to see fractures with the swelling on. And so you may well have to wait a little bit. But clinic will take care of that. And so then let's go back to gross anatomy here. Synovial membrane, medial collateral ligament, four bands. And instead of just memorizing the four bands, what I'd like you to know about the medial collateral ligament is that how is it attached to what bones is it attached? What bones is it attached? Okay? So you can see it's attached to three, you know, tarsal bones. It's attached to three tarsal bones. So the medial collateral ligament is attaching Chipil, you know, they, what is called your middle malleolus, three tarsal ports. As you look at, you know, the medial collateral, you know, ligament right here. You see? Three tarsal ports. Now, let's look at the lateral collateral ligament also. And the lateral collateral ligament, as you look at the lateral collateral ligament, that also is attached to the tarsal ports. But it has only three, you know, bands. As you look at the three bands, again, it's attached to the talus. And so here is the talus. See this whole bone here, from here to here is the talus. See right here, okay? So here, you know, it has, as you look at it, that nerve, that one. So here you have the anterior talar, you know, fibular, anterior talar fibular ligament, anterior talar fibular ligament. So it's coming from the talus going to the, what is called your lateral malleolus, and then here you have the calcaneofibula. And it's very easy to understand calcaneofibula, coming from the calcaneum to the fibula, coming from the talus to the fibula, okay, talofibula. And so it has, you know, and it also has, you know, this one here, posterior talar. And so this little bone here, this part here, what bone is that one? This one here, this here. What bone is that one? Talus. That's the distal end of the talus. That's the distal end of the talus. So here is the head of the talus, is the neck of the talus. Here you see the trochlea of the talus. Trochlea of the talus comes, I think, right up to there. And this is the posterior end, or you can say the distal, because this is anterior. So the distal end of the talus. Okay. So anteriorly and posteriorly, there are ligaments coming from the talus to the fibula. And then also the big heel bone, the calcaneus. Here is the big bone, calcaneus. From the calcaneus, you have, you know, the calcaneofibular, you know, ligament, you know, coming and, you know, attaching here. And another thing, since these ligaments look so pretty, you can really beautifully see how they are attached to the bone. Now, I'm going to take you someplace else and tell you this is not related to this ankle joint at all, or what we are talking about, but it is related to you. And so that is when you, somebody told me the other day, somebody's anterior cruciate ligament was reattached to the bone twice, because it was torn. It was reattached twice, but it did not take. So you can see how easily it can happen. If that comes off from the bone, when you reattach, it doesn't always have to take it. You can see, because what membrane do you have on this bone right now? Periosteum. Okay, so periosteum, you know, it is the periosteum that is giving it this strong attachment. The periosteum is attached. You've seen the periosteum, haven't you, in the section lab? If you haven't, you should take a look at. You know, when you go to do the joints, you can see the bones. And when you see the bones, take a little scalpel and just scrape like that on the bone. Study all those things. So this is your time to do this. Scrape like that on the bone, you can really see how hard it is, how slippery, and how hard it is, you know, to scrape that periosteum. Okay, and so you'll see how tough and how where is the periosteum. And so that periosteum, when you attach and reattach, sometimes it doesn't take. Okay, now, any questions? Okay. Let's.
Okay. So.
Sarah, Amira, and Ravi. Okay.
So.
I wanted to say it in one breath. So. Okay.
Okay. So lateral.
Tarsal bones. Then I gave you the names of the tarsal bones. Okay? And then you just put a dash and write talus, you know, and calcaneus. Okay? And then talus next to talus, you know, put another line and write anterior posterior. So then you will know. Okay? That's how you have to, that's the only way you can take notes in this class and other classes, you know. Just have short forms here, arrows going here and there, and then you will know when you read it. Okay, and so I saw someone looking at the clock. Is it break time?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's take a break and then we'll finish this up and then I'm going to the foot. I'm going to the foot. Okay. Classmates. A lot of these people might not have even heard the term, but on the other hand, if you just tell them, they are not going to forget that. You see, that's why I dance and sing and do all these things, because they attach my dancing and singing and things with certain things. So they will not forget it in life. There, do you want a microphone?
Can you hear me?
When she says loud, of course everybody can hear. Yeah, okay.
Okay, a couple of years ago I fractured my tibia. I didn't understand how I also fractured the malleoli. They were like little marbles. I could feel them moving around. But I just realized it was from those collateral ligaments that were holding them together, and that's how they fractured as well. So.
Did you heal?
I did heal. But I still have a metal rod in my tibia still. But they had to attach the malleoli with little screws until it healed, and then they removed them. Gardening.
Oh, I would have never expected that. You see that? Gardening, because for mountain climbing or coming down or anything, even then it happened.
I have a fence around my garden. I climbed over and I put my jean leg on the fence, hopped around until I heard it snap.
Okay, you're doing what they do in the circus. You know, they're jumping over things and then doing all kinds of things on, you know, hanging down with their feet and the hands and all those things. You are doing that circus deal, all right. Maybe during this one, talent, no talent show, you can do something on the stage for us. And so here, the fat is responsible for the stability of this joint. The fat is responsible for the stability of this joint. This joint, even though it is frequently damaged, you know, when people misuse it for things it is not meant for, it can happen. But otherwise it is a very stable joint. So what are the factors that are responsible for the stability, shape of the articular surfaces, as you've seen in case of the hip joint. Hip joint, remember, you know, your ball and socket. So here, again, when you look at this one here, you can see this arrangement here, you can see the socket is formed here. See the socket is formed here. And then this one, the trochlea of the talus, you know, is fitting into it. And so it's not just sitting like that. When you read it tonight or sometime, you will see that there are articular surfaces here on this side of the trochlea, you know, for this part, articular surface here for this part, articular surface, you know, here on this side for the lateral malleolus. There are articular, you know, surfaces, you know, there. And then the other, you know, thing here is strong ligaments. The other point what makes this joint stable is the strong ligament. And in addition, strong ligaments means what ligaments? You know, the collateral ligaments, as well as, you know, I only talk about the big ligaments, the collateral ligaments. There are other, you know, ligaments I haven't even mentioned. Then the retinacula holding the tendons in place. So the tendons will stay there, you know, so. And before going to the movement, at what movement is the angle most unstable? Even though it is a very stable joint, and you know, it has, what are the main actions of the ankle joint? It's a hinge joint. You know, it's a hinge flexion, and that means your, you know, plantar flexion and your dorsiflexion. Dorsiflexion and plantar flexion are the main movements. But at what movement is this ankle joint most unstable? At what movement is it? Adduction or and that means dorsiflexion or plantar flexion?
Plantar flexion.
Why did you say it is the plantar flexion? Why did you say it is the plantar flexion? What is your anatomical basis for stating that it is? Yeah. Yeah. Somebody said this. Somebody said something. I know.
It's in the book.
Well, yeah. Supporting the whole body's weight. The talus is the key here. The talus, when you look at the talus, you will see that its distal end is narrow. You can see that the posterior end or the distal end of the talus is narrow. So when you are, you know, plantar flexing it, that narrow distal end, so let's look out. That one is a good one called the talus. Okay, good. Here. So when you are plantar flexing like that, so that it becomes loose, the posterior aspect of the talus becomes loose in the ankle. That's what it makes you see here. As you look at it here, this is the distal end. See, this is the head, neck, trochlea, articular surfaces here. And so this part here is the distal part, is narrow compared to the rest of the, this is calcaneum, okay? Compared, this is from Neder. Okay, so you can see that is the reason why in plantar flexion it becomes unstable. But it is, generally speaking, it's a very stable, you know, joint, and the stability depends on what are the factors we have gone over. And blood supply and innovation, page 706, I believe page 706 has, you know, just it says, you know, I040 or whatever, you know, else. And innovation, you know, it is the same, on the same page, 706, because it's written as point form, bullet form, that's the reason. It's not explaining it, it's bullet form, so I figure you can just read that. You're going to read the angle joint anyways, and then let me move on to the clinical significance of the angle joint. Frequently injured major joint. So even though it is a very stable joint, when you compare the angle joint with other, do you have a question?
Yeah, I thought eversion.
Pardon me?
I thought eversion.
Eversion, the degree of eversion that is taking place at the angle joint is very small. Very small. Eversion, inversion, adduction, abduction, they all happen. Those four movements also happen at the angle joint, but the main movements are the other two, flexion and extension, that means plantar flexion and dorsiflexion. But at eversion and inversion, small degree of movement, at that time, the whole thing is moving. The whole thing is moving. That is not, I haven't seen it any place written as such. Okay? And so, then, let me see, clinical significance of the frequently injured major joint. Okay, when you compare major joints, that means the shoulder joint, the hip joint, the knee joint, and are the major joints. So, especially in the lower extremity, when you compare the knee joint and the hip joint, the ankle joint is frequently injured compared to the other, you know, major, you know, joints. And we have gone over some of these things. Sports fracture, I have gone over. Footballer's ankle. Footballer's ankle is a painful condition. Painful condition because it can involve bone growth. That means with a repeated, you know, kicking action. In plantar flexion, you know, the ligaments are going to be, you know, repeatedly used, and with the repeated use or repeated plantar flexion here, what is going to happen is you can have new bone growth. You can have new bone growth, you know, and that is And that is what is giving them in pandat flexion, the stress that puts on the anterior tibio-talar ligament. Anterior tibio-talar ligament. And so here we have the anterior tibio-talar ligament. And the tibio-talar should be, you know, on the medial side. So with the here, with the thing here, okay. And so when you look at the anterior tibio-talar, anterior tibio-talar ligament, okay, this, you know, becomes, you know, stress, you know, it is under stress here with the, you know, repeated kicking. With that stress, it can stimulate bone growth, new bone that doesn't belong there, okay. That new bone, you know, growth that can give problems, you know, here. So that is the footballer's angle. And sprained ankle, we have gone over the sprained ankle, in which position the foot will be, what ligaments are going to be involved, what ligaments are going to be involved in sprained ankle? Lateral, collateral ligament, and anything else. In a bad sprained ankle, what other, ligament, the tendon. What tendon can also be involved? Brevis, that's right. Peroneus or the fibularis brevis tendon. And with the peroneus or the fibularis brevis tendon, let me see, that is the tibialis annulus on the medial side. Let me take you here. That is the peroneus brevis. Look at it here. Can you all see that one? I think I have the same diagram up above here, this one. That everybody can see. That one you can all see. See here? The same level, I thought I'll get it a little higher. And so peroneus brevis, look at it. I'd like you to understand some of these things. That is, look at the peroneus brevis tendon attachment to the fifth metatarsal, you know, tubercle or tuberosity. Some books will say tubercle, some books will say tuberosity, right here. Okay, right here. And so when the lateral collateral ligament, as you can see, and if this one is also, it also becomes involved in pulling on it, involved, you know, in inversion, you know, what is going to happen is this ligament can become stretched, torn or sheared, and along with it, because it is attachment to this tuberosity here, the fifth metatarsal tuberosity can be torn also. And I really liked Diane's contribution, because now when I say something or when you read it in the blue box, it will make sense to you that it does happen, it can happen, breaking off of the medial malleolus, lateral malleolus, this tubercle, these things can happen even when you are not mountain climbing, only if you are climbing on the fence. Yeah, okay. Yeah. On this one here? Oh, really? Mm-hmm. So, you, now you all believe me? Yeah, no, that is very good. Thanks for sharing, because it's very important. Because, you know, sometimes such information is what is going to stay instead of what you have memorized, okay? What you have heard, you know, from other people's experience. Also see the blue boxes, because there are, you know, what you call spiral fracture, transverse fracture. There's a whole lot of fractures in the blue boxes. And so when you look at it, let me ask you, instead of summarizing with my usual, going at, you know, these people who are, when they are auctioneers going like that, instead of that, let me ask you a few, questions. And what is the area of the leg? What would be your answer if I ask you that? The area of the leg. The defined area of the leg, because I know the whole class still doesn't have that. That's why most of you have it, not all of you. What is the area of the leg?
It's
It's between the knee joint and the ankle joint. Okay, two bones, tibia and fibula. Okay, and then you're seeing there are compartments, you know, osteofascial compartments. Okay, so you have an anterior compartment, you have a lateral compartment, which is the peroneal compartment. Then you have a posterior compartment, and that posterior compartment is the functional name of the posterior compartment of the leg? What is the functional name of the posterior compartment of the leg? Flexor compartment. Because you have the flexor muscles there. And the anterior compartment of the leg, what did you call it? The extensor compartment, because dorsiflexes are there. And the lateral compartment or the peroneal compartment is the peroneal compartment, because they are, you know, everting. And there is one thing I haven't mentioned, I think you will get it in your reading, but I want to make sure that I have mentioned it, and so then I would say I did mention it in class also. That is this thing, I haven't mentioned it. That is here. Look at the tibia here. And so this is skin, that is superficial fascia. And right here, do you see any deep fascia? Let me show you on the bone right over here. Do you see any deep fascia there? No. There's no deep fascia. Do you see any muscles there? No. And this here, there is no muscle. There's no deep fascia. There's skin and superficial fascia. And next to that is your periosteum. And next to that is your bone. So this is why you see when something hits here, it hurts like hell. Okay? And so that is the reason. Periosteum has, you know, nerve endings and whatnot. And also by the same token, when she talked about, when Diane talked about fracture of the tibia, so look at the tapering off of the tibia. Look at the tapering off. It's large here, and you know, it is, you know, a little bit large here, but as it is tapering off here, so it's not protected by muscles here, it's not protected by what you call your deep fascia here, so it can break also. Not only it will hurt, but so it is not quite protected. So the tibia here is not quite protected. I know I missed that when I was talking about the compartments. And what is the main nerve in the anterior compartment of the leg? Deep fibula. What artery travels with it? Anterior tibial artery. In the lateral compartment, which nerve would you find in the lateral compartment, peroneal compartment? Superficial fibular nerve. And what artery travels with it? None. Good for you. None. Okay, posterior compartment, what nerve would you find here? What's the main nerve in the posterior compartment of the leg?
Tibial
nerve. There is no posterior tibial nerve. What is posterior tibial there? There's an artery, posterior tibial artery. What other artery would you find in the posterior compartment of the leg? Fibularis, which is a branch of posterior tibial. It's a branch of posterior tibial. And so the posterior tibial is a branch of what? This is a branch of popliteal, from where it's coming. Remember the principle. The deep arteries take the names of the region in which it is traveling. Popliteal fossa, popliteal artery. This is posterior to the tibia, posterior tibial artery. Anterior tibial artery. And where does the posterior tibial artery go then? It is here, then where does it go?
Into the
sole of the foot. Right over here it will come and divide and it will go. And when we come to the foot, you will see that. And so you know the main nerves in each of the compartments and the muscles. This is the flexor compartment, okay? And the other principle you need to keep in mind about the muscles is that look at their origin, look at their insertion, then you can really figure out the action. And because you know the origin is going to sit there, give the orders. And the insertion is going to, you know, pull when the muscle shortens, contracts, whatever, so it's going to pull. So if the flexation here, you know, what can they flex? What can these muscles flex? Only the structures that are below here, isn't it? So it can flex the ankle, it can flex the ankle, and also it can flex all the, you know, the digits and what you call your calyx or your big toe. So that is what they can, you know, flex. And so when you think of the flexor, hallucis, longus, flexor, hallucis, longus, you see? Two things. It is flexing the big toe, and also there is a flexor, hallucis, brevis someplace. Okay, that you will find in the foot, in the foot. So like that, logic and critical thinking is the best way, you know, to study this. And I'm done with the leg. Let us go to the foot. Okay. And here, the foot now has, as you look at the foot outline, we have the bones here. And everywhere in the extremities when you go, okay, required reading and this is all given, okay, preparation. Now, some of the bones here, as you look at it here, you have tarsal bones, you have metatarsals, and so as here, as we come to look at it here, okay, here. Okay, good. Okay, so here, tarsal bones. What type of bones are these? Tarsal bones. What type are they? Short bones here. So there are 7 tarsal bones here. My going over here, all the details, I'm not going to go over, but it's not going to help you. What is going to help you is you need to know the names. That means the bones. That means you really need to take the bones and look at them, okay? Names, positions, and bony markings. There are not too many bony markings. You know, thank God you don't have to, you know, really worry about the bony markings. There are very few. What I would say is that very few, like the trochlea, the talus. When you look at the talus, you will see that it has a, you know, head, neck, and articular surfaces. So you need to see the articular surfaces and things, then you will really understand what the structure is doing and why is it is, you know, sitting there. And so for that purpose, you need to know metatarsals and tarsals. So what do we have in the foot here? We have the 7 tarsal bones here. Then we have these metatarsals. The metatarsals are what, how would you classify those bones there, the metatarsals? They are long bones. They are miniature kind of long bones there. And so then we have phalanges, okay? So there we have the plural, phalanges, yes, okay? And or you only have the, you remove the S and phalange. And so phalanges, only 14 of them. That's again the other thing. See here, look at it, the 2, 3, 3, 3, 3, okay? So these are things that people may, you know, forget. And the positions of them, once you need to know the positions of these bones, like, you know, the calcaneum or the calcaneus, when it is sitting, where is the talus? Where's the talus? How is it sitting? So when we come to look at the joints, it's very easy for us to see. And then, where is the navicular and the cuboid? And, you know, the cuneiforms. You know, the cuneiforms, okay? And bony markings, as I told you once, you can see the talus, for example, is easy because you have so many things, the head, the neck, and then it has the trochlea here, it has also this one here, the posterior, you know, tubercle, see here? Like that, when you look at the cuboid, when you look at the calcaneum, calcaneum has a few tubercles, a couple of tubercles. You need to know calcaneum has you know, the suspension of Chani, and in fact the coronary tubercle, I know in living anatomy, I'm so very pleased to see some people have already finished palpating, you know, the coronary tubercle and the suspendaculum cani, all those they had palpated in living anatomy not the other day, yesterday. And so like that, when you look at them, it's very easy to find out the what. Then again, I'm repeating myself here that the names of them, where are these? When you look at the positions, you will know, you know, what they are articulating with, because after this one, after the positions and all that, we're going to look at the articulations on the joints, phalanges, names, positions, body markings, the same page, repeating one more time, and let's look at here. Then when you look at the bones we have looked at, before we come to the skin of the foot, dorsum of the foot is, you know, just like very, you know, thin skin, like any place cells, and it has all the, you know, details, like the sole of the foot, you know, you have thick skin like the palm. But borders of the foot, this is your medial border of the foot, lateral border of the foot. Now, if you put an oblique line like this one here, it divides the, what you call your medial and the lateral borders, you know, right here, that can divide here. And so, as a physician, when you say, you know, there is, say, a heavy object fell on the foot, and what are the likely, what structures are most likely to be damaged? So, the person was standing in the anatomical position, and I forgot to bring my, have a brass bison. I bring it sometimes, it's very heavy. I don't drop it on my foot. But I did. I show it to you. And I forgot to bring the bison. And so if you, so this is the midpoint, this is the medial border, lateral border, and this is about half of the lateral border, this is about half of the medial border. So this is the midpoint of the foot. So midpoint of the foot, if you drop something, what structures, what bones are likely to be fractured? Metatarsals, I can see that. Why not the tarsals? Why not the tarsals? Because, yeah.
Because they're already so close to spheres, they shake that they will take less impact, whereas like a long bone will take more impact. Right?
Yeah, also us, yeah. Okay, so you said because of the shape, you know, of the tarsal bones, and they are, you know, also when they're standing, we are not going to go, you know, this, when it's an accident, we're not going to go and do it very close to the ankle, isn't it? You're standing there, and so that means it is likely to fall on the metatarsals. When something falls, it's likely to fall on the metatarsals. And so metatarsals are located anterior to the midpoint of the foot. Anterior to the midpoint of the foot. So here is the midpoint, this oblique line that you see here is the midpoint of the foot. So metatarsals and the phalanges are anterior to the midpoint of the foot. Okay? And then when you look at it here, you can see the stability of the foot. How stable is the foot? And how stable is the foot? The stability of the foot. Is it stable? Yes, it's very stable. But it has, it's very interesting, you know, that when you look at it here, you can see it has a whole lot of small bones. But you would also see that all these small bones, how they are, you know, held together. There are so many ligaments on the dorsum of the foot. So many. So much so, nobody really memorizes or expects people, you know, to really know all those ligaments. But I expect you to know that that there are dorsum ligaments, that means from the dorsum of the foot. There are small ligaments connecting and or uniting, you know, these tarsal bones. And there are small and large ligaments. We'll go over the large ones in the sole of the foot. In the dorsum of the foot and in the sole of the foot, we have, you know, several, you know, small, you know, ligaments, you know, that are, what should I say, uniting, you know, these structures, you know, together. And other than that, I will not pay any attention to all these individual ligaments. It is not possible, you know, unless you want to be a podiatrist and or orthopedic one. Even orthopedic doctors, they will know some of the anatomy. They may know even maybe a little less than you, because you are reading and you are with it right now. Okay, and so they have studied it 20 years ago, and they don't keep up with it. So you will be fine. Okay, now let me go on the sole plantar. Oh yeah. Now when you look at the deep fascia of the sole of the foot here, that is what here is what we call plantar aponeurosis. So when you come into the sole of the foot, the thick, you know, the deep fascia thickened in the middle is plantar aponeurosis. Listen to the name, plantar aponeurosis. Remember your aponeurosis from the first week? What is the aponeurosis? What is aponeurosis? Yeah, it's a, you know, flattened, you know, deep fascia, you know, that is giving muscle attachment or whatever. So here you have plantar aponeurosis. Then you have, you know, there is also lateral plantar fascia, medial plantar fascia. This is all deep fascia. So I like you to know it's the same deep fascia. The crural fascia, remember fascia lata? The crural fascia. Then the same deep fascia continuing on into the sole of the foot, plantar aponeurosis. And lateral and medial plantar fascia, and on the dorsum of the foot, you know, again we have, you know, the same, you know, deep fascia, continued dorsal, you know, deep fascia. There isn't any one particular name for it. And then what we have here is the dorsum of the foot is what we normally do after doing the fascia. And in the bones you are going to be looking at when you look as the, no, this one. When you look at the dorsum of the foot, I'll just finish the dorsum of the foot first. The reason is there are only two muscles there. And then we go to the sole of the foot. Okay? And as you come to look at the dorsum of the foot, you can see some of all your retinacula, but in addition, the extensor digitorum brevis and extensor hallucis. Let me take some of these writings off so you can see easily. And so, remember the extensor hallucis is longest here. Look at the extensor, you know, hallucis brevis. Extensor hallucis brevis. Look at it's going and inserting right in here. And then laterally, here you have the tendons of the extensor digitorum longus, and into there you have the extensor digitorum brevis, 1, 2, 3, to the lateral, you know, three digits is going and inserting into the extensor digitorum longus tendon. So why are they doing this? Why is the extensor digitorum brevis? This is extensor digitorum brevis muscle. This whole one here, from here to, you know, here, is extensor digitorum brevis. And it's inserting, you know, right via your tendon of the extensor digitorum longus. Why? Why? So it can help, it can function with it. So extensor digitorum longus and extensor digitorum brevis are functioning, working together. Same thing with this one, hallucis. Extensor hallucis brevis is also working together there like that. Now, when we look at the extensor hallucis brevis and extensor digitorum brevis, even though I don't have it in the outline, just out of curiosity, what nerve do you think is innervating this extensor digitor of brevis and extensor hallucis brevis? What nerve do you think will be innervating these, you know, these two muscles? Pardon me? What nerve do you think will be innervating? Deep, exactly. Deep fibula. You can see the deep fibula coming down here. Deep fibula is coming down. Let's go back here and get the nerves also in this one here. Nerves. Yeah, I think this one, you know, this one has all the nerves also. Okay, so then why not the, yeah, here. Okay, so here you can see that it's coming here. You can see a branch going. Why not the superficial fibular nerve? Why doesn't that come down and innervate these muscles? You can see its branches have been cut off. Superficial is taking care of all the cutaneous innervation. All the cutaneous innervation in this part except little bit of the skin here. This little bit of the skin here. See here? This skin between the big toe and the second toe, you know, the skin right over here, not here, right over here, receives cutaneous innervation from the deep fibula, also the muscles. I think it's time that we, you know, Thursday I'll be able to finish the foot in preparation for, you know, the lecture. Okay, so it will be done. Foot will be done on Thursday, and foot will be on the winter. Okay, guys, I'll see you. How many people are coming to the tutorial today? Let me see. Yes or no? How many people are coming today, Tuesday?
What time?
5 to 6. No,
you know the biology.
No, not everybody. There are people who took summer histology, they don't have histology. But when does your histology start?
4.
So do you want me to change? You want me to change the tutorial time from Tuesday to more advanced to the afternoon? Oh, okay. 3 to 4? You want 3 to 4? Oh, you should have told me. I have no problem. That's what I thought all day. So, but some people said, yeah.
Oh,
good
half o'clock.
What? Yeah. I'll ask the topic. Okay. Yeah. No, because people are in the longest gender. Yeah, it is going to be.